Upstairs.
Ryan nodded, smiling into Christie's eyes.
Guess we'll have to make do with our coats again.
What's new about that?
Nothing new. But it's still about the most fun I know.
In the end, they found that the reality of enforcing their defensive position took preference over their lovemaking. The house was so large that it could be suicidal to split up into separate rooms for the night. Ryan had mentioned the strange call from the woods to JB, and they'd agreed that double guards would be essential.
Could do with hunting up some food tomorrow.
They'd eaten the remainder of their jerky, washing it down with rainwater that had appeared among the stone flags.
Plenty of tracks out toward the stream.
Ryan stood, stretching his spine.
Wet weather always gets my joints. You think the wagon will be safe out there, JB, without a guard?
Night patrol could keep an eye on it, but it's got all sorts of sec locks on it. If those guys back at the redoubt hadn't gone off together to buy the farm and left it open, we'd probably never have got inside the doors.
Lord have mercy.
Doc also stood.
My God, it sounds like the 4th of July in here.
Funny, Mildred. I must say, if it were only dampness that affected my poor old body... Hot weather and cold weather and dry weather and wet weather... All make me feel 100 years old, or more.
Michael had been quiet since they reached the house. Ryan had watched him, wondering if the young man had been considering taking his chance and breaking away from them. Now he looked up at Doc.
I thought that you were over 100 years old, as am I.
There's nothing to be done about that, I fear, my new friend.
I thought that you said that if we could return to...
Doc waved a hand.
No. I said nothing of the sort, Michael. No. We must both resign ourselves to our predicament.
I was sure that you...
Let us walk on the upper floor, Master Brother. And I shall remind you of what I really said.
They walked off together into the gloom of the hall.
What was that shit about?
Ryan turned his head and stared at Christie, who was looking vaguely puzzled, her green eyes blank and introspective, gazing into the tumbling flames of the crackling fire. She felt his unspoken question and half-smiled.
Can't tell, Ryan. You've known Doc long enough to know that his mind doesn't work like other people's. He's probably been telling Michael some tale or other from his past.
Seemed more than that, Christie. It was more like they had a secret of some sort.
Ryan nodded.
That was the way I saw it. Like the kid had spilled something Doc didn't expect him to mention. Fireblast, I don't know. Just keep watch on them.
In the stillness, they could all hear Doc's voice from somewhere above them, but they couldn't make out what he was saying. Neither JB nor Ryan saw the situation as being a triple red risk, which meant that they could divide up for the two-person patrols along social lines rather than deliberately picking pairs to maximize their combat skills. There was a tradition on Dark Watch that the two most dangerous periods of blackness came just after midnight and just before the cold pallor of the false dawn. JB and Mildred took the first of those two-hour watches. Ryan and Christie had picked the last of them, through to first light. Doc and Michael were allocated the opening spell on patrol, and Abe and Dean were happy to share the couple of hours from 2 until 4 in the morning. Doc stood in the eastern-facing attic of the mansion, his right hand gripping the butt of the Lama. His eyes were fixed out over the garden, past the rows of trees that moved gently in the night wind, toward the charred interior of the ville, where the redoubt lay still in secret. He was so preoccupied in his vigil that he never noticed a flicker of light among the grove of oaks, toward the ravine. On the floor below, the young oblate from the past was walking quietly along the corridors, stepping into each of the range of master bedrooms. Outside, the chemstorm had cleared away to the far south, and there was a sheen of watery moonlight filtering in through the dusty glass. Michael paused on the threshold of every room and stood very still, his hands down at his sides. Despite Ryan's pressing him, Michael refused to carry any kind of blaster. The things that the old man had been whispering to him had left him bewildered, unable to decide if they offered hope or doom. The first of the two-hour watches passed without incident.
You want to patrol on your own, Dean, or stick with me?
Maybe better not to split up, Abe, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
Okay.
The moon was occasionally covered by a tattered shroud of high cloud, sending blurred shadows scudding across the empty rooms. Every now and again there was a faint creaking as the old house settled into the cool of the night.
Think there's anyone out there watching us?
You ask more questions than anyone I ever met in my whole life, kid.
Who else am I supposed to learn?
You may have a point there. Maybe I should ask more questions coming up. Nah, I'd still be a dumbass killing machine.
They were in the hall by the stained glass panels of the double front door. The yellows, greens, scarlets, and blues of the rich floral patterns that decorated the leaded glass were dappled all around their feet. Dean held the Browning nervously in his hand.
Could be someone out there.
Open the door and take a look. If there's someone there, tell them to shove off and go someplace else.
Think there is?
Jeez, boy, no, I doubt it.
They froze at a faint noise from the living room, where the others were sleeping. They could just make out the reflected glow of the dying fire in the dark doorway.
What was that?
The log breaking up into ash. God damn, cool it, will you? You're making me eat jumpy.
Sorry, Abe.
Open the front door and chase off anyone you find there.
Sure.
There was an iron bolt at the bottom that opened easily, another at the top that Dean had to stretch to slide back, needing help from Abe, and a thin brass chain that the boy unhooked.
There you go, boy.
Dean pulled the door toward him, going along with Abe's joke.
Get out of...
The cry of shock tore through the mansion, jerking everyone awake.
What the hell?
As the door had swung open, Dean was already grinning over his shoulder at Abe. So he first glimpsed the crouching mutie out of the corner of his eye, bathed in the spilled moonlight. The creature was hunched over, holding a long, thin-bladed knife point up. Its lipless mouth was open in a soundless snarl of bloody hatred, its pinpoint eyes glaring at the boy. It wore an assortment of torn rags and furs, and its head was totally bald, pitted with suppurating sores. The knife lunged toward the boy's throat, held in a gloved fist. Dean's bizarre upbringing had developed his reflexes so that he could almost match a striking rattler. He slammed the door as hard as he could, catching the mutie's forearms. The knife dropped to the floor of the hall. Abe stooped and picked it up.
Got it!
The hand pulled away. Dean pushed the door closed again, jerking the two bolts across to hold it shut. The whole incident took about 5 seconds from opening the door to clattering home the iron bolts again. By the time that Dean turned away toward the living room, his father was already standing there, his powerful blaster in his hand. JB was at his shoulder, Christy close behind the armorer.
Muties! Just seen one! Kid broke its arm! There must be others!
It was a fair judgment from an experienced fighting man. Muties didn't go around on their own. They lived and raided in groups, anywhere from a half dozen to a half hundred.
I'll take the top floor.
JB headed toward the stairs.
Watch all sides.
Mildred appeared.
Come on with me, Millie.
Sure, right behind you.
Doc and Michael came into the hall together, the younger man slowly knotting the cord around his waist.
Are we under attack, my dear friend?
Yeah. Stay here and watch that front door, Doc. Anything moves, wipe it away with your cannon. Michael, just keep out of the way.
As you say, Ryan.
Where in God's name did that come from?
The back of the house. Let's go.
Abe stayed with the old man and the teen, while Dean joined Christy and his father, racing along the narrow passage toward the kitchen quarters of the house, past the row of silent bells that hung on the wall, each one still bearing the faded label of a room in the mansion. Something was going on outside. Ryan guessed that Dean had discovered the meaty's attack only moments before they had been about to launch it. But those moments had given an edge to the defenders. Now each of the three groups faced different problems. JB had his Smith & Wesson M4000 cradled in his arms, the heavy 12-gauge cocked and ready. As he darted along the corridor on the second floor, his eye was caught by a glimmer of movement.
What?
The master bedroom, with the ornamental balcony. The impact of the flechettes tipped the dying mutie backward over the black iron railing, where its body landed on top of three other attackers, knocking them sprawling in the long, moonlit grass.
I'll take this side!
You go, girl!
On the second floor, things were going well for the defenders. Ryan burst into the scullery, seeing the kitchen ahead of him. The back door was swinging wide, and there were at least 8 or 9 muties between him and the open night. There was little light, and it was impossible to make out any details, just a group of figures waving knives. That first glance didn't show Ryan any plans.